Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave. And joining me tonight, recording Diz Dad's podcast number 54, are Matthew Wren.
Hello, everybody.
Jason Gilbert.
How's it going, everyone?
And if he can finish extricating the deer from the side of the minivan, Mark Harbison. Now, guys, tonight we're going to be talking about surprises. Great topic. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that. But before we get there, I do want to let people know there's still a couple of weeks left. If they want to join us for the first ever Diz Dads Convention, January 10th through 14th, 2013 at Walt Disney World, there's still some time. So just head on over to the Fairy Tale Journeys by Diz Dads page. If you go to DizDads.com, there's a link to us there. And any of the Fairy Tale Journeys by Diz Dads agents would be happy to hook you up with one of the remaining rooms at Wilderness Lodge, Port Orleans Riverside, or All Star Movies. Our travel partner, Fairy Tale Journeys, has been great in getting that set up for us. Rooms are at a great rate, and we've got a discount on ticket prices as well. So it's not too late. There's still time to join us. Just give us a call. Hey, it might even be a nice surprise for a spouse or your kids. Right, guys?
Fun times.
Sorry, my mic was muted.
That's all right.
But yes.
Well, you know, you were surprised by your muted mic. So, you know, I think all of us on this podcast tonight have at one time or another done a surprise trip for our families. And I want to really talk about sort of the whole span of putting together a surprise trip from the planning pieces of it to the reveal. And so, Jason, why don't you start us off and talk a little bit about maybe why you decided to do a surprise trip in the first place?
We did the surprise trip more for the fact of I don't think we wanted to listen to when are we going, when are we going, when are we going, when are we going, when do we leave, when's Disney, when's Disney, for 6 months after we booked it. So it was, the surprise was definitely more to hold them to the surprise, but to also not have to hear it every day.
Yeah, actually, you know, we made pretty much the same assessment because, you know, we did a surprise for our first trip. And we started planning that one really far in advance. It was probably about 13 months out when we started putting it together. And as soon as we started talking about it, we thought, you know, we really better keep this under our hats because, first of all, at that point, our kids were younger. They didn't really have a good concept of, you know, long periods of time.
Exactly.
And is it time yet? Every day for 13 months. You know, I mean, I was counting down in my head and getting excited, you know, too, but I couldn't have handled that.
I think that helped us with our issue as well with the not being able to go on the Diz Dads convention was we didn't really tell the kids because that was also going to be a surprise.
Okay.
So it helped us a little bit when we decided we weren't able to go to not have to break the news.
Sure. Well, we're going to miss you, Jace, but I completely understand. All right,
I'm gonna miss it.
And how about you, Matt? Why did you choose to plan a surprise trip?
Well, our reasoning was really twofold. Number one, the kids kept seeing the Disney commercials playing on the TV and talking about wanting to go. But the wife and I weren't totally sold on the fact that we could afford a trip. So when we started the early planning of it, we kind of kept it a surprise just until we kind of got a better grasp of the cost and the confirming that we'd be able to actually be able to take the trip and afford the trip. But at that point, it kind of just came a nostalgia thing for us, my wife and I being us, to have that own surprise moment like we saw in the commercials and looked and found on YouTube on other families who had done surprises and things like that. And wife and I weighed the, is it cliche or is it memories conversation a couple times and decided we wanted that type of memory of our own.
Sure. And by the way, we are all three of us are going to be sharing videos of our surprises. It looks like Mark may be able to join us after all. Let's see if we can get him added in here with the group. Ooh. Hey, Mark.
Hey there.
So did you get the deer extricated from your car?
Well, we never found the deer. It was a big one. He had a big, big antlers and everything. And by the time we pulled over and got out of the car to check damage, we didn't see a body anywhere. So
wow,
I'm assuming he wandered off and maybe resting in peace in some part of the woods or something. I don't know.
Well, or looking for something else to knock heads with.
That's okay. That meat's not any good anyway. Once you hit it.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm glad you're able to join us, and your timing is quite good. We were just making the rounds talking about, you know, why we had chosen to do a surprise trip with our families. And I was just mentioning that we're going to make some videos available when we post this podcast to be able to see, you know, some other people's surprise experiences. But, Mark, why don't you talk about your choice to, you know, have a surprise trip for your kids?
Well, I think it was something that my wife and I had always kind of wanted to do, is just to you know, one day just have that time where you just kind of see if you can just pull up to the gates without your kids knowing anything about it and just spring it on them. I think, you know, sometimes it seems like surprises are more for the giver than the givee, you know. So we get to have all the fun planning it, knowing what's coming, and enjoy the reaction. But so it was just something that we'd always wanted to do. And we were just looking for an opportunity to, you know, we had always kind of thought of it as a someday type thing, sort of a bucket list type item, not that, you know, we were actively planning it for a while. We were just looking for an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, and let's talk just real quickly before we get too much deeper into it. You know, each of us are in a slightly different situation in terms of being able to keep a secret like that for, you know, how far out you can drag it. I mean, you know, Mark, you guys drive to Walt Disney World, so your goal was to try and keep it a secret, you know, until you had him driving under the gates. I don't know, Jason, what about you? How long were you trying to keep it a secret?
We were trying to pick them up at school on our way to the airport. That was our plan. We had a 4 p.m. flight, so we were going to pick them up around lunchtime and just say, let's go.
Okay. And how about you, Matt?
We had an early morning flight, so we kind of got them up and got the children going as far as our normal day would have transpired. And then when our ride arrived that was going to take us to the airport, that's when we kind of threw the wrench in the normal plans and said, okay, wait a second, we're going to be doing something different today.
Yeah, well, that's similar to what we did. We had actually a very early morning flight. We had a 6 a.m. flight. And so we were actually waking the kids up, you know, what was pretty much the middle of the night, right? Because the airport's 45 minutes away from us and you got to get there an hour early. So we were waking them up at 3:30 in the morning to get them out there. And that was when we had to do our reveal, because, you know, how else do you explain that we're waking you up at 3:30 in the morning?
That takes lots of courage to wake them up at that time.
I'd be afraid to wake up my wife at that time, let alone the kids.
Well, the worst part was that I, of course, couldn't sleep. I was too excited. All right, so we've talked about sort of the background pieces, you know, why you might do one, when and when it started. Let's just kind of go around and give people an opportunity to share the basic story of their, you know, their surprise trip and how it all came through. So, Jason, why don't you get us started with how your surprise trip unfolded?
Okay. Luckily, I had the power of my trip report from the Disboards to look back on, because it was a few years ago. But like I said, basically, we just tried to – we didn't want to have to listen to the 6 months or 8 months of, when are we going? When are we going? Are we there yet? Are we going yet? Today the day? And it kind of just came about where my daughter was going away for Thanksgiving weekend. She was leaving like the Wednesday of Thanksgiving, going to my aunt's house for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And at this point, a lot of people knew. Okay. And my wife and I weren't going to be there. We were both working on Thanksgiving. And our biggest fear was somebody was going to let it slip.
Oh, like, yeah.
We weren't there to catch them. We weren't there to not let them say anything. So we ended up telling them the weekend before Thanksgiving. We put up our Christmas tree at that point, and we had all the documents buried in the decoration boxes. So when they got to the bottom of the boxes, they were all there.
Okay.
And found the travel documents.
All right. And Matt, how about you? How did your sort of planning phase and then reveal go?
Well, for us, we kind of got into a situation where we just gone through a financial turnover. We were able to pay off some debts and things like that. And when we got our tax return, my wife and I had already decided we wanted to take a family vacation. We hadn't done so in quite a few years. And that's when the question started, you know, can we afford Disney? And it turned out that, you know, it was within our budget. So that was in like February, and our trip wasn't until the end of September. So, you know, we went through all the planning phase, and what we decided to do was get, activity bags. You know, our flight is like 2.5, almost 3 hours. So we needed to occupy the kids. So we got them all, activity bags, and being right after the start of school, we actually used their new backpacks for the school year and just delayed giving them to them, filled them with stuff to do, on the plane, if you will, put a classic Mickey style t-shirt right on top. And we took advantage of a really cool feature that we found through the Disboards called the Fairy God Mailer program, where people who had gone to the world earlier than our trip sent postcards back to our kids from their favorite characters. And those postcards all said, you know, can't wait to see you and things like that. So we gave them all their bags at once, and those postcards were right on the front, and let them read the postcards. And when they looked up with their confused face, we clarified.
Right. Okay. And how about you, Mark? How did yours go?
Well, do you want the long version or the short version? Because I guess as far as planning goes, the opportunity came up. We had friends of ours from our church that came to us a year ahead of time and asked us if we wanted to vacation with them and just rent a place at Pawleys Island, which is near Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. And we thought, sure, that'd be fun, you know, hang out with our friends at the beach for the week. And then my wife and I got to thinking, which is always dangerous, and we have kind of a goal to, in our travels, to get our kids to see all 50 states.
Okay.
And the only state that was left on the East Coast that our kids hadn't been to yet was Georgia. And so we were thinking, well, you know, if we're going to be down in South Carolina, then it's not that much further to go to Georgia. And then, of course, you know, you can see that where the train goes from there. If we're going to be in Georgia, you know, Florida's not that much further.
Right.
And if you're going to be in Florida, you know, you might as well go to Disney World. So, so that was kind of the genesis of it, that we were going to be in Pawleys Island. We thought, well, why don't we just tell our kids we're doing a surprise vacation and don't tell them where we're going. And then when we get to the beach, they'll see their friends there and they'll figure, okay, that was the surprise that we're vacationing with our friends. And then at the end of the week, then we'll just start driving and see how far we get. And our hope was to get all the way to the gates before they realized it, but there were a lot of obstacles in the way for that happening. So it was kind of a fly by the seat of the pants operation from that point on.
Sure. Well, see, our surprise, I mean, we decided so far out that we were going to surprise them that it was, you know, gave me sort of extra angst on the one end of trying to keep the secret for that long. And then on the other end, maybe it's just the obnoxious dad in me, but I couldn't help sort of dropping little hints along the way just to see if they would get anything. And of course they had no clues, so I don't know why I thought they would get anything.
I'm the exact same way, Aaron.
So was I.
To save my life.
Well, you know, I think the only way I was able to keep the secret was because it was fun to drop hints. And, you know, it was like, first of all, our trip was, it was our first trip ever. And we also, for that trip, started out with a short trip at Universal because my daughter is a huge Harry Potter fan. And so, for example, you know, at the time, she and I, for her bedtime reading, I'd read her a chapter from one of the Harry Potter books. And, you know, there was one of the chapters is called Aboard the Hogwarts Express. So I started to read the chapter and she pipes up and says, I want to go to Hogwarts. And I said, well, you can't, it doesn't exist. And she says, well, there's the theme park. Can I go there? And of course, you know, she wanted to go to Hogwarts. So I said, well, you know, maybe when you're 11. And then she goes on it. It's not real. I don't have to wait till I'm 11. And I'm trying so hard at this point not to just giggle, because I know she's going. But, you know, I managed to play it off. I managed not to completely lose it. Just kind of banked that one. Let's see.
Really cruel, you could say. Yeah, well, maybe I'll go check it out for you and see how it is.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where with my wife and I, it almost became a game on, you know, how much can we code talk about it without the kids catching on?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I mentioned the T-shirts that we got for the kids. We actually went to our nearest Disney store, which is actually not very near. It's a 45-minute drive from the house. And bought a week's worth of T-shirts because there was just an amazing sale going on. The kids were with us the whole time. So we were buying the clothes. They had no idea we were buying the clothes, and we were just distracting them left and right. It became entertainment to see how much we could plan in front of them without them knowing.
Yeah, and there were all kinds of little things where, you know, I mean, my wife and I got really good at, you know, kind of whispering quietly while they were doing other things or whatever. And, I mean, there were so many little close calls. My favorite was just, you know, sitting whispering, and I happened to be glancing at the souvenir pricing because Wizarding World had just opened. And so I was reading some of those first reports that were coming back from people about, you know, the various souvenir prices that they were finding. And I swear I whispered, like, so quietly while the kids are watching TV, something else, their attention is totally focused on something different. And I whispered to my wife that somebody posted that you could get a Firebolt broomstick for $300. And I was, you know, being, you know, laughing at the absurdity of it. Well, I swear the words Firebolt broomstick came out of my mouth, and my daughter flew across the room. You know, can I see? Can I see? Like, you know,
they've
no.
Got the radar up.
Yeah, no kidding.
We actually planned our trip the one night we were sitting making our dining reservations, and I was sitting on the corner at the end of the couch with a laptop, and my wife was just having a conversation with the kids because we had been there the year before, and they're like, oh, what was your favorite restaurant, and where did you like to eat? And as they're saying it, I'm actually booking our dining reservations as they're sitting 5 feet away from me, and they had not a clue what we were doing.
Nice.
Yeah,
we would – when we're like specials, you know, behind-the-scenes Disney specials and things like that would come on the TV, we'd watch them and we'd talk to the kids about, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool to do that when we went, or, you know, is that something you guys be interested in? And just, for as smart as my kids are, they were so absolutely clueless when all this was going on. And again, that was just part of the entertainment for the wife and I.
I think I was under pain of death from my wife that I better not drop hints and give it away, because I'm notorious for doing that. And she always, my wife has always figured out every single surprise I've ever tried to spring on her. She's like uncanny in her ability to blow my cover. So I had to bite my tongue several times. And I think we got to the point where we had told some other people what we were doing. And we always had to start every conversation with, the kids don't know, you know, just so they wouldn't blow it.
Yeah.
And I think about a month out, somebody said, so now when do you guys leave for Disney?
And God. I was
like, you know, with the kids in the room, we're like, no, you know, so you're quick trying to scramble. You're like, you know, we don't know. Hopefully we'll get there someday, you know.
Yeah.
But they didn't hear it.
Hey, what am I managing? Go ahead, Jason.
And that's why we had to give ours away before we planned on it, because, like I said, with Kaylee going away, somebody was going to drop it. We just knew.
Well,
most likely it would have been my grandmother.
Well, see, the additional problem that we had with all of this is that our trip was over my daughter's 7th birthday, or 8th birthday. She was 7. She was over her 8th birthday. And so we had to keep stalling. She kept wanting to make birthday party plans for the weekend of her birthday. And we kept having to stall her because, you know, we couldn't have her inviting a bunch of kids over while we were going to be gone. and we couldn't tell her
that, or you go the whole nine yards and you plan the fake birthday party.
Well, you know, we went back and forth on that. We thought about that. And finally, and at the same time, we're dealing with the fact that, you know, we were afraid of our relatives, you know, especially my sister-in-law, who has issues with this kind of thing, you know, might let it slip that we were taking this trip. And so we told as few people as we could possibly tell. We told my parents, and we swore them to secrecy. And everybody else, we just told that, you know, we were going to be out of town that weekend of Michaela's birthday. We just said out of town. We didn't tell them where we were going. We just said we were going to be out of town. And, you know, we figured we'd deal with it later. And if anybody was upset, then that was their problem, not ours.
Yeah, it was actually my manager at work that had the biggest slip up for us, because I was sharing with my coworkers about our plans and things like that. And my middle daughter had come into the office, I don't remember, with my wife or with my mom or something, and it was like just weeks away from going. And she's like, "So I hear you guys are going somewhere special pretty soon," right to my daughter.
And oh,
she
no.
just had this look on her face. And it was my mom that was there, because she spun around. And before I could jump in, my mom jumped in to save the day. And she was like, "Yep, she's going to spend the whole weekend with us here next weekend."
Nice save.
So, it was my manager almost slipped. And that was the closest call we had.
Well, the other, you know, things, I mean, there were a couple other little sort of, I hate to call it taunting, but I guess it kind of was. We didn't think of it that way at the time, you know, but my wife would do things like say, "So if you could have dinner with any movie character, who would it be?" And just, you know, kind of pull out of them what they would do. And, you know, there's my daughter has this long running joke with my mother-in-law about, you know, getting an invitation to dinner with the Queen. And so we were giving her, you know, trouble about, well, you know, the Queen might not invite you to dinner, but what if you got an invitation to dinner with a princess? What about that? And of course, we're thinking about the fact that we have a reservation at Acres House, you know, scheduled for her birthday. But she's just rolling her eyes at us for giving her trouble about, you know, maybe getting to have dinner with a princess for her birthday because the Queen wasn't available.
Yeah, it would get to a point of almost just sheer torture, because we would do the same thing, Aaron, around the dinner table. We would say, "Hey, you know, what are the top five things you'd want to do if we ever were able to go to Disney World? Or who are the top 10 people you'd want to meet while we were there?" And it was complete enjoyment on my part. I mean, I totally love the torture, but the kids would get that, "Oh, come on, it's never going to happen," attitude and look in their face.
So,
did you guys ever have the, we kind of had a dichotomy of reactions between my wife and I, where part of it was we were really thrilled that we were pulling off this surprise and they had no idea. And we were partly looking at our kids going, "How dumb are you guys?"
Yes.
"I can't believe they haven't figured this out."
We didn't have that problem. We had the problem when they actually did start reading the information, them comprehending what was going on. Like, Kaylee looked at the documents probably for 3 minutes and was like, "What? What am I supposed to be looking at?" And I had to, like, walk her through what I wanted her to read and where I wanted her to read it. She's like, "Oh, they must be last year's. Wait, no, they say this year, but we're not going." Like, she just couldn't comprehend what we wanted to tell her.
That was, I think, a great
our idea of a too. Surprise was too complicated for the age that they were.
Right. That was another great fear, was you have the romanticized version in your head, like, "Oh, they're going to... But you're going to reveal it right at the Disney gates, and they're going to be all thrilled, and then you're worried that they're going to have that deer in the headlights look and not have any clue." And
there are some of those videos on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our 4-year-old actually started crying. I don't know if it was just, you know, she was overwhelmed or she just didn't get it, or she got scared because of how excited her brother and sister all of a sudden got. Cause obviously, you know, being 4, she couldn't read what her said. Somebody had to read it for her. But she actually started crying, and I had to go in to console her and explain to her what was what everything meant, and then she got excited. But yeah, exactly what you're saying, Mark. You got the picture in your head of what it's going to be like, and then you got the reality of what turns out.
Well, and I think for us, it was a little different because this was their first trip ever. And so there wasn't, we didn't feel like we were keeping them away from helping us plan anything because they wouldn't have known anything to plan anyway. They were really starting from square one. And so I think that from that perspective, it made it a little easier. On the other hand, it made it somewhat of a challenge because we just had to kind of anticipate what kinds of things they would enjoy. We actually did, before we took the trip, take a trip out to the local amusement park here, out to Worlds of Fun, that, you know, kind of late summer before, just to get a sense of how they reacted on rides, because we weren't sure how that was going to go. And we just needed to get a feel, you know, since this whole thing was going to be a surprise and they weren't going to be able to tell us in advance, about what they were going to be able to handle doing. And basically what we discovered is that our daughter is a complete daredevil and wants to do everything. And, you know, the only problem was a couple of the height restrictions. And that, you know, my youngest is pretty much a ride Freddy cat. And they've come a long way since, but especially him, it was good. I'm glad we found a testing ground before we got to Walt Disney World, so at least we knew what to expect.
Yeah, that was our concern as well, as planning it. It was our first trip too, and not knowing, you know, what they'd like and what they'd do, but trying to get that idea together. I completely understand where you're coming from there.
All right, so let's get to the big moment, the reveals. Obviously, we're going to make some video and some pictures available so people can see it for themselves, but, you know, having experienced it in the moment, let's just talk for a minute about what your kids' reactions were and kind of how you felt about that reaction. I don't know, Matthew, you've talked a little bit about your kids' reaction. Why don't you take us a little farther into it?
Yeah, so when we got up in the morning, what we had planned is that I was going to take the kids out to grab a breakfast, which is outside our norm, but we didn't think they'd realize it. Well, my wife put all the stuff into the vehicles as our ride arrived and things like that. So when we sat them down and we gave them their bags, so hey, we finally got your school bags for you, you know, here they are. And then when they tried to lift them, realized that there was stuff inside, you know, we just invited them to take a look and pull it out. So they pull out their postcards and they start reading. And my son, who's the oldest, he's the one he caught on first, and he just kind of had that "no, really?" kind of take with a big, huge smile on his face. And my middle daughter had that confused look like, "What? We're going?" And like I said, the littlest one was, she was really held back and reserved, and eventually ended up, you know, crying. But I think it was just a matter of being overwhelmed and confused at the same time. But once we clarified, yeah, we're going now. Okay, when we want you changing those shirts, we gotta go. Flight's leaving. We gotta get to the airport. Then came the jumping around and the screaming and running up and down the stairs to change their clothes and tripping on the stairs. And now we got to worry about safety. And it's like, okay, we love the excitement. Let's have a little controlled excitement. But, right. It was really great. My wife was crying. Her best friend, which is who drove us to the airport, was crying. Her best friend's husband was the one that was videotaping for us. And, I went to console the littlest one and kind of explain what was going on and help her change her shirt and things like that.
And how about you, Jason?
As I said, we were hoping to do it, the day of our flight with picking them up at school. Turned out that when Kaylee was going away for the holiday, we had to go into panic mode on how we were going to change this and save it so that we surprised her and not somebody else in the family. So we decided Saturday night we were going to put the Christmas tree up, start decorating for the holiday. And I took all the documents down the basement with me, stuck them in the bottom of the ornament box when they started unwrapping the ornaments to put them on the tree, they found the documents. Kind of took a little while to get them to realize what they said, but once they realized that it was for that year and not, you know, old stuff that just got thrown in the box,
right.
My daughter took it much better than my son. He kind of was, he was only like 3.5, 4. So he was very young when it happened, but my daughter understood it, and they were both excited. And if you watch the video, you can hear the excitement in my voice, because I was videotaping it and trying to talk them through it. And it was like, we're going now. Like, we're going in 2 weeks. You don't understand. It's not 6 months away like last time. It is in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part for us was actually the getting their homework. Like, we went to their teacher conferences and things like that.
Right.
And their teachers knew.
Oh, yeah.
Long before we were going.
Yeah, they, I was worried about that one, too.
The lucky part was Kaylee's teacher at the time graduated high school with my wife. So we knew that we could really trust her to hold it. She wasn't going to let it slip.
Yeah.
So, but we did have our ups and down moments with it, and it was definitely worth it.
All right. And so, Mark, you had him in the car, you have him coming, you know, across from Georgia, and tell us how it went.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a little bit different situation because we really didn't know when the reveal was going to happen or how exactly.
Right, right.
We just got in the car and started driving. So we got into Georgia and we, you know, said, okay, new state, you know, and celebrated and everything's good. And we stopped for lunch. And then after lunch, we started driving again and we put on a movie. Our strategy was electronic distraction as much as possible. And so they were watching a movie as we crossed the Florida line, and they didn't see the sign, completely missed it. So we didn't say anything. We just kept driving. We got to Jacksonville, and my son noticed the city, and he was looking over. He's, oh, it looks like a neat city. And we're just kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he saw the football stadium there, and he goes, is that where the Atlanta Falcons play? And we're like, no. University of Georgia? No. And for some reason, they dropped it there. So we dodged a bullet. Because we didn't want them to say later, oh, you guys lied to us. We're like, no, we didn't lie to you. You know,
right.
We just didn't volunteer information. So we were getting through. I think the movie finished at some point, and then they started playing on their little Nintendo DSs. And it was a good thing they were, because we got to Daytona to the exit for Interstate 4. And right at that exit, there's three humongous billboards for Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Harry Potter, you know. And they totally were oblivious, completely missed it. So we kept on driving, got about 25 miles away from Orlando. And then my one son David's DS battery ran out. So now, you know, my wife and I are kind of sweating a little bit, and you know, we're starting to run the gauntlet of billboards, et cetera. And all of a sudden, we hear in the back seat, "Hey, look, Harry Potter World!" And we're like, "Oh no!" And my son starts nudging my daughter Sarah, and goes, "Hey, look, there's a sign for Epcot!" And my daughter, thank goodness, goes, "Stop bothering me! I'm playing a game." So she shut him down for us. It was great. And he's watching them play the games. But eventually, you know, the signs become more frequent. And my son goes, how come there's all these Disney World signs out here? And we're like, oh, great, the jig's up. So I started trying to play it off and say, well, you know, it's a really major highway, so a lot of places do advertising here, you know, trying to grab people. And my wife came up with the brilliant line. She goes, yeah, it's a lot like south of the border. You know how we saw those billboards for hundreds of miles? You know?
Oh, nice save.
Same thing. And my son's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. So it was beautiful. It was full credit to my wife for that one. So we kept on driving. We got through Orlando. We came to about 5 miles out. We came to a dead stop where Interstate 4 hits the toll road that comes from the airport. It was, somebody had an accident, and it, the whole highway was shut down. So we're just dying at this point, you know, because we're so close to the end. We've gotten this far and they still haven't figured it out. We wait about 20 minutes. You know, they shut everybody down to one lane. We finally squeeze through. We start driving. And then we see the green exit sign for, I think the first one is Epcot and Downtown Disney. And we drive past that exit because we were heading to the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I hear my son in the back seat go, "Aw, we're not going to Epcot." So it was, you know, he had all the pieces of the puzzle, but he didn't quite get the jigs and the saws lined up, you know?
Right.
And so we actually, it actually went off as we dreamed. We got all the way to the gates. And, awesome. You know, I had them turn off their devices and just said, "Hey, guys, you know, I got something to tell you." I said, "You know, we've actually been in Florida for about 3 hours." And I can see on the video, my daughter has this great reaction, like, "How dare you?" You know? And I said, "We're actually really close to our final destination." And that's when she goes, "Is it Disney World?" And we pull up and you know, it took a little bit. The gate was a little bit further away from the exit than I thought. But we got there and they're like, "Hey, we're at Disney World." So we got the big reaction and it actually we pulled it off. So it was the fairy tale ending for us.
Excellent. Glad it worked.
I have to interrupt before.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason. You had said you wanted to kick something in here.
I'm watching the football game, and there's a Papa John's commercial for a double bacon six cheese pizza. And I just thought that would be perfect for us. I saw the commercial, like, wow, that's awesome looking. Sorry.
That's okay.
Easily distracted.
That's all right.
We
that's
have
right.
any Papa John's around me. Why do you got to do that?
Our closest is like an hour.
You guys can come down here. We got one. It's always time for bacon.
Yeah, but you have like 7 foot of water around your house, don't you?
No, we're good. Delaware was okay.
All right.
We had minor damage, so. Pizza party at my place.
There we go.
Sweet. We're on our way.
All right. So our reveal, I had been psyched for this reveal for quite some time. And the last 48 hours or so before our trip, were really hectic because we're trying to prepare for this trip and the kids knew nothing. And we're trying to pack and get clothes together and, you know, all this stuff. Cause our trip was a long trip. I think we were there. We were, you know, our trip in total was, 8 days, 9 days, something like that. Because we had the couple of days at Universal and then 6 days at Disney. So it was a long trip and there was a lot to pack. And we did most of it in the basement, you know, kind of kept it isolated from them. But at a certain point, you know, we had to make sure we get everything in the car and we're trying to deal with all that. So finally, the night before, even though it was a school night, the night before our trip, my parents took the kids to dinner and we didn't go with them, which was a little unusual. But, you know, we figured it was better than blowing the surprise. And we barely got the luggage into the car before my parents got back with the kids from dinner. But we made it. All was good. Got everybody to bed. Of course, I couldn't sleep because I'm psyched and I'm going over details and trying to make sure everything's figured out. I think I got maybe, you know, 2-3 hours of sleep tops that night. And part of the reason I hadn't gotten much sleep is that I had made sure I was all organized. So I got the flip video camera and set it up and I put it on a tripod and I was all set. I was going to, you know, tell Michaela about the trip and have, you know, the whole thing on the video, like, and have me being able to be on the video at the same time and all of that. And I was all ready for that. And at some point in the middle of the night, she had a nightmare and ended up climbing into our bed. And it can't have been that late to the middle of the night because obviously we were getting them up at 4 a.m. Anyway, I had to juggle that a little bit. Luckily, she was too out of it to notice that there was a video camera sitting on a tripod when she worked her way into our room. And I knew that that I was going to get the better reaction out of her. So that's the one I was set up for the reveal. And I got pretty much the reaction I expected. Now, you know, at the time we had never been before, and she was a huge, and still is a huge Harry Potter fan. So that was her biggest reaction, was that we were going to Harry Potter Land. Cause basically what I did was told her that we had to wake up and get moving because, we were going to Hogwarts, and, you know, we had a dinner reservation at Three Broomsticks, which wasn't entirely accurate because it's counter service. They didn't take reservations, but I didn't need to go into that with her. And so that was my explanation for why I was waking her up at 4 a.m. And you could see the wheels turn in her head, and it took a second. And then she was like, really? Really? And, you know, and then I told her about Disney World, and she got excited about that. And it was one of those, you know, I've always wanted to go, and I just didn't want to say anything because it's so far away and expensive, and I didn't want to ask. So we got a great reaction from her. We go to wake up my son and tell him, you know, we're going to Universal, we're going to Disney World. And his reaction was, it's not morning yet.
Beautiful.
No, awesome. John, it's not morning yet. Just get dressed and come with us. But you know, it was worth it. And I don't know that I would do a complete surprise trip like that again. Maybe eventually, but now that the kids know what they like, I feel like I want to include them in the process of putting a trip together. And it's a little harder to keep it a secret because, you know, they're asking about it and they want to have input on the kinds of things that we're going to do now. You know, at some point, obviously, I could just take some of the things that they've talked about and put another surprise together. But I don't know. I think it still wouldn't be quite the same as that, you know, first trip surprise where they really had no expectations.
Yeah, I mean, we're headed back to Disney World here in about a month. That's why I'm not making the Disdads convention. But I will say that... even though I'm very grateful we have our surprise trip and we've gone through all that, it has been more enjoyable in the planning phases of it to get their input directly on what they want to do that they didn't do last year, what they did they want to do again, and things like that. So I don't know if we'll do another surprise again, but I'm really glad we did one.
Yeah, and when we did our cruise this past spring, it was – we kind of kept the secret for – as long as we could. And then we told them about, I guess it was probably about 30 days in advance, about a month ahead. We let them in on it. And for that, it worked better. I don't know that my son would have reacted as well to it if that had been a surprise, because he would have been confused about us, you know, going to Disney World and then not really spending the time we usually spend in Disney World and going on down to the cruise. And he was really excited about a cruise. So we did sort of a semi-surprise for that one. And that worked. But again, it was good that we did the reveal on that one a little earlier because there were things that, you know, he wanted to do, things he wanted to bring with him that we wouldn't necessarily have thought of if he hadn't known and hadn't been able to tell us, you know, those things that he wanted to do or wanted to bring.
Yeah, there's definitely advantages and disadvantages. I think probably my favorite part of the whole surprise was, yes, it was a surprise trip for our kids, but I also surprised Leslie with the fact that I purchased Christmas party tickets before we went. And she didn't know that we had those until the morning of the Christmas party.
Yeah, so you got a little extra surprise in there too.
Yeah, so I actually was able to surprise everybody in my house at some point.
Great.
Through that trip, which was definitely fun.
Sorry, Jason. That's okay. One thing we found, an unintended consequence, was that every time we told the story of, you know, how we surprised the kids to our friends and how we pulled it off, my my kids would be listening in and we'd talk about all the signs they missed along the way. And, you know, and my daughter got really upset at one point because she thought, she felt like we were making fun of her that, you know, that she missed all this
stuff. Oh, no.
And we were like, no, we're not making fun of you. We're just, you know, we're just amazed that we actually pulled this off. That's the thrill of the story. But she was pretty sensitive that, you know, it was almost like, you know, I should have figured this out. So I guess maybe that's one thing to watch out for is how you tell the story afterwards. But we were like, well, you know, we don't have to do any more surprise trips. And she was almost like, yeah, I might like it better that way.
All right. Well, you know, we could keep talking about surprises all night because I think we all four of us agree that, you know, whether we would do one again or not, it was a lot of fun. The one that, you know, we did all the way through and we'd certainly consider it again. You've heard what we all think about these trips. We'd love to hear your thoughts on surprise Disney trips. So you could email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Look forward to hearing what you have to say. And until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster here tonight with Matthew Wren.
Have a good day, everybody.
Jason Gilbert.
It's bedtime, y'all.
And the thankfully deerless Mark Harbison.
Anybody want some venison?
4-1 Nice job, guys.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.